We're looking at the third servant song found in the book of Isaiah. The song is actually recorded in verses 4 through 9, but I've included verses 10 and 11 for our reading as well. Again, Isaiah 50, beginning in verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Father, we ask that you would cause your illuminating light, again, that work of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us who you are and who we are, to help us to listen and really listen and obey that which you have given us here in your holy word. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we look at the four servant songs, the fourth one, which is recorded at the end of Isaiah 52 and all through 53, we will look at on Christmas Eve, we come to the third song, and we're reminded once again how powerful music is. We love beautiful music. We love those gifted to play instruments and those gifted to put words and lyrics together to beautiful music. The power of music transcends all types of people and all generations. The evidence that people love music will be seen on Christmas morning as people tear into packages that will reveal their love for music. Some will receive a new instrument, maybe their first guitar or their first violin, or a better guitar or a better violin. Some will tear in and see a speaker that will produce beautiful music, and it's only this big. I remember my first sound system, and the speakers alone were this tall, and this little thing sounds better. Others will reach into their stockings, and they'll pull out cards, iTunes cards, and they will go and download more of their favorite music. I love music. I love listening to all types of music. But I especially love music that has deep meaning, that calls a person to ask the question, why did this person write this song? What was going on in the heart and mind of the songwriter? And then, what is it they want from me? What is it that this song is speaking about that, in a sense, demands something of me? And here, Isaiah chapter 50, this third servant song, after the song is over in verse 9, the two verses that follow, 10 and 11, give us the point of the song. They draw us to a place of asking a very simple question. Do I trust in God? Or do I trust in torches? Essentially, the song, after you hear it, leaves us with one question. Am I trusting in the one who is vertical, to God, the creator of all things? Or am I turning horizontal and putting my trust in things made by man, described here as torches? Now, the temptation for all of us, whether you are a Christian on your way to becoming a Christian, thinking about being a Christian, or hostile to the idea of being a Christian, the temptation for all of us is this, that we will put our trust in things that are insecure, They promised themselves as a light, as a torch, as a fire. They promised themselves to be secure, but ultimately they're not. Not even temporally, not for long, and certainly not eternally. Versus putting our trust in the one who is worthy of our trust now and for all time. And so Isaiah takes us to that place in verse 10 where he asks the question, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Do you see what's happening? The song is about walking in darkness, not a darkness that's necessarily generated by our own sin, but the darkness of living in a broken world. And we as people are scared of the dark, every one of us, because when we look out in darkness, we're scared of what we can't see. And when we can't see, we want something to illuminate the darkness that we might feel more secure. But we are afraid of what we can't see. We're also afraid of what we think we see, but it's so dim we're not sure. And then even when a bright light shines on it and reveals what is there, then we're afraid of what we do see. So we're fearful people, afraid of what we can't see, afraid of what we think we see, afraid of what we do see. And in this passage, in that darkness, Isaiah is calling us to trust in the Lord instead of trusting in torches that give us an artificial light. But they tempt us because they give us a sense of real security. So this morning, as we unpack the servant's song, as we look up into the lyrics of the song, we're going to see that the Lord is worthy of our trust. But you're also going to realize that, like me, so often we fail to trust him, even though time and time again he reveals he's worthy of our trust. Thank God that his mercies are made new each morning. There's a new devotional book by Paul David Tripp. I received a copy of this book from him in the middle of November, and it's one more book to read, one more devotional on the market. But I did pick it up and began to read it. Yesterday's devotion reminded me of why I like his teaching. He's so honest. So I want to read the beginning of his December 20th devotion. This is what he writes, and he writes honestly. He writes, I wish I could say that sin always appears horribly ugly and destructive to me, but it doesn't. I wish I could say that all the time and in every way, I hate what God hates, but I don't. I wish I could say that I always love to do what is right, but I don't. I wish I could say that I never think that my way is better than God's way, but I can't. I wish my heart were forever settled with staying inside God's boundaries, but it isn't. I wish I could say that my war with sin is over, but it's not. Not this side of heaven. And you relate to him just as I do. If we didn't, we would never have to have a public confession of sin. But we, like him, as Christians, we wish that that battle was over. We wish that there was more obedience. We wish that there was more trust. And on that very issue, yesterday morning, I went to a place of confessing somewhat the way he did. This is what I wrote. I wish I could say that I always trusted God immediately, but I don't. I wish I could say that every time one of my children experiences pain and darkness, that I trusted that he knows what he is doing, but I doubt. I wish I could say that each time one of my weaknesses is exposed, that I trusted that his power is made perfect in weakness, but I don't. I wish I never doubted that his will is always good, pleasing, and perfect, but I do. I wish I always had faith like a child, but I often don't. And I wish I could say that I never question the presence of God or the power of God or the goodness of God, but I do. And what's so remarkable about the mercies of God is that each day he forgives that doubt. Each day he forgives my lack of trust. And more than that, each day he reminds me of why he's worthy of my trust again. You're just like me, every one of you. You see, we are not the perfect man, but Jesus is. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, and we do love him. But don't you cry out as Tripp does, as I did, I wish I wouldn't wander. I wish I would believe immediately. I wish I didn't have to pray, oh God, I believe, help my unbelief. But because the world is so dark, because pain is so real, because this long journey from this moment to eternity is unknown in terms of how long it will be, my temptation is to actually not trust the one who is worthy of my trust, but instead to grab hold of a torch and light it, to create a fire and warm myself to it. Knowing, though, these things are insecure things, I'm tempted to find my security there. Aren't you? If you're anxious ever, it's because the world is dark. And the enemy is offering you constantly, put your trust in this. Put your trust in this, whatever it is, power, wealth, prestige, reputation, your parenting to be known to others, whatever it is, he wants you to put your trust in that. Even your religion, even your knowledge, even your experiences. But there's one thing, one God, one who is worthy of our trust. And this morning, as we look back up into this song, I want to tell you with joy that this is why this listening servant, this is why this listening servant, the Lord's servant, Jesus himself, is worthy of our trust. In this servant song, the third one reveals it powerfully. And I want to show you in two ways. First, this listening servant is worthy of our trust because he tells us that he has the power to sustain us who are weary. In other words, he has the power with a word to sustain the weary. But he's also worthy of our trust because he suffers for the wayward. Those two things are what I want to look at for a few minutes this morning. So first, look with me up at verse 4. Jesus describes himself as a servant who listens. Literally, the words here are the words that a disciple would use of listening to their teacher. So the servant tells us in verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught. So what's happening is Jesus has placed himself, this prophetic vision, before the Father and is being taught the word of God from the fathers. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. But he here is in the submission of this wonderful call. And he is as one who is being taught. He goes on to say, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Are you weary? I'm weary. I'm often weary. Somebody asked me just a little bit ago before the service, are you ready? And for a minute I thought, for what? I'm ready for revelation. What Chad read with us to be a reality. I know what this individual meant. Are you ready for the rest of the season? Yes. I'm ready for this day to worship with you. I'm ready to hear that people have professed their faith in Christ. I'm ready to hear that those who are so weary, even as they enter into this service, weary because of mourning, weary because of a diagnosis, weary because of a relationship that's broken, weary because a child has rebelled, weary because they can't see into the future and it's dark, weary because they can see something of the future and it's dark. Weary that they can see clearly, but it's dark. Where are you going to go? The torches are here.
They're saying, come to me. The fire is lit. It's saying, come to me. But the Lord is the only one worthy of our trust. And the Lord, this listening servant, tells us he hears from the Lord. And because he hears from the Lord, he is able to offer to the weary this incredible gift of being sustained. Look with me again at verse 4. That I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Jesus describes his relationship with the Lord then this way. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Don't you remember as we read the Gospels, that Jesus often withdrew to go and be with who? His Father. Luke 5:16 says, and he would often withdraw to desolate places and pray. In the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, Mark believed it was so important to give this picture of Jesus that in chapter 1, verse 35, he says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. That's our Savior. Our Savior goes to be with his Heavenly Father. And as he's with his Heavenly Father, he receives a word. He receives the word. He is the word. Now, this is amazing. Anytime we begin to feel overwhelmed with the weight of darkness in this world, when it moves from being general in description to specific in your life, where do you go? So often you go to speak to someone who can offer you counsel, someone who can offer you encouragement. And truly, if they are godly people who are seeking the face of the Lord, you can find tremendous counsel that's there. Even non-believers in Christian liberty can give good counsel. But this is a true statement. There is only one who can give perfect counsel. There is only one who has never failed to give some counsel that would have error. There's only one that you can trust in who could never lead you astray. And who is it? It's the listening servant. Earlier in Isaiah chapter 9, we use this as our call to worship. We described the Lord by name as Isaiah does in that great chapter. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All the words that God himself could use to give as a name of his son, he gives those four titles. Wonderful Counselor. My friends, when you experience the weariness of living in this dark world, there is a Savior that calls you to trust in him. You can trust in this listening servant because he can sustain you with his word. He will not fail you or lead you astray. But as you seek his holy word, as you pray to him to understand his word, the enemy over here is offering you hot, bright, comfortable security that looks so illuminating, that looks so powerful, that looks like this is what you really need. And if you would only trust in this, you wouldn't experience the pain of the darkness that's out there. But let me tell you, though what he provides has power, though what he provides is shiny, though what he provides can bring comfort, if it didn't, we wouldn't be tempted towards it. It will ultimately destroy you. It will destroy those who trust in it. Because it's not God. It's not salvation. The temptation is for us to put our security in insecure things instead of our security in the one true secure thing, which is Jesus Christ. There's a second reason why we can put our trust in the one to whom this song is about, the listening servant.
And it's because he suffers for the wayward. Listen to what the servant says in verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. What is this song about? It's about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's about the mock trial. It's about the torture that he had to go through so that you and I could live for eternal life. Do you see the beauty of this song? The listening servant, again in verse 5, says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. That's important. As Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before going to the cross, before even being arrested, alone, even as his disciples couldn't stay awake, as they turned their back on him once again, he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But yet not my will be done, but your will be done. And the Lord's will, which we will hear in the fourth servant song, the Lord's will was to crush him. And the son knew it. And in hearing that, the son did not turn his back in rebellion against the father, but instead he turned his back towards those who would strike him 39 times with a cat of nine tails, one lash minus what most would believe would cause death. He didn't turn his face away from those who punched it and then pulled his beard from his face and spit in his face. Picture that. Jesus receives those blows. Jesus receives the grip of a man's hand ripping out the face of his hair. Jesus receives the spit and disgrace from the very ones he himself made. He turned his back towards them because you and me and all creation turned their backs on him. The next servant song says so. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us, that's you, that's me, each of us have turned to his own way. We're wayward. We went away. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The listening servant suffers for the wayward that we might be saved. He turned his back towards those beating him because we turned our backs on him. He turned his back towards those who would nail him to the tree, to the cross, because we turned our backs on him. Why? So that God, for all eternity, for those who trust in Jesus, would not have his back turned to them. He set his face towards this act of submission. He did not rebel. Why? He set his face towards that flint so that you and I could one day see his face. And everyone who is in Jesus Christ, who is trusted in Christ, will see his face for all eternity. That gift is offered even this day for you. But there's a temptation. It's real. The temptation is to trust something that feels and looks as if it's more secure. You can touch your catalog of possessions now. You can trust in your reputation now. You can trust in the name that you have and the power that you've sought now. But if you turn to those torches, if you absorb that as what warms you and kindle yourself to that fire, I promise you, because of what God's word says, you're going to experience torment. And that torment doesn't come just because those things aren't ultimately secure. That torment comes at the hand of God. You see, the gift of Jesus Christ as the Lord, the one who is the way, the truth, and life, is for you.
But it's a gift that you must, by his grace, receive. It's a gift with his illuminating work that you would say, I trust in Jesus. I believe. There are many here today who have made that profession of faith. I'm confident there are some who have not. My plea this morning with you is to trust in the one who's revealing himself as trustworthy, the one who suffered that you might live for all eternity. If you refuse to receive that gift, then there is something else that you will receive. And Isaiah said so at the end of chapter 50. Let me read it one more time. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. The enemy, my friends, doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that you can have both. He wants you to believe that you can trust in Jesus, maybe just on Sundays and at Christmas and Easter, but you can also warm yourself to all these things. God won't have that. God knows that he alone is the one worthy of our trust, and he calls us to that trust. These things are not evil in and of themselves. They're only evil when we put our trust in them as opposed to trusting God. Maybe today is the day, even as I close this in prayer, where you will say, I trust in Jesus. I receive the gift of his salvation. I confess that I'm a sinner in need. Maybe you'll pray that even today as I close this in prayer. Last thing. The point of this song is to teach us that the suffering servant endured torment so that we who are in Christ would spend eternity with him instead of eternity in torment. These are not my words. These are the words of God. These are the words offered to you. These words are trustworthy and true. So, my friend, you've heard the song. What does it mean for you? Have you trusted God? Or are you continuing to trust your torches? I want to leave with one final reading from this book called New Morning Mercies. It's a very short paragraph. Listen before we stand and sing. I don't know if you have ever thought about this, but there are only two places to look for hope. You can search for it horizontally, thinking that something in creation will give you the security, peace, and inner sense of well-being that you seek. Or you can seek it vertically, entrusting your life into the loving hands of your Creator. People put their hope in the creation all the time. They seek satisfaction of heart in the love of other human beings or in the success of their careers. They think their hearts will be satisfied by a certain set of achievements or by a certain catalog of possessions. But none of these things has the power to satisfy your heart. They are all meant to point you to the one place where your heart will find secure rest. You and I need to face this reality. Creation and created things will never be our salvation. Have you trusted in God? Or are you still trusting in torches? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning and pray even now, if there are those in our midst who have yet to trust you, that this might be the moment, the beginning of them receiving the gift of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. You become the Lord of their life, that you would draw them into you, and even in this moment, give them irresistible grace. This prayer, Lord, is for your people to pray. Lord, for those who are already in Christ, who've already trusted you, but they feel they're living in deep darkness
It's difficult to trust you. Would you use these very words from this great song to lift them up, to see that they are secure in you? Oh God, let this season not pass with us not seriously considering the gift that we have in you as our Lord and Savior. Teach us to trust you more fully. Teach us, O Lord, that you are worthy of our trust. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the Word and gives us his word. Amen.